Chapter 8. Triss. It's 9 o'clock. They could be deciding Caleb's verdict right now. As I tie my shoes, as I straighten my sheets for the fourth time today, I put my hands through my hair. The factionless only make trials private when they feel the verdict is obvious. And Caleb was Janine's right-hand man before she was killed. I shouldn't worry about his verdict. It's already decided. All of Janine's closest associates will be executed. Why do you care? I ask myself. He betrayed you. He didn't try to stop your execution. I don't care. I do care. I don't know. Hey, Triss, Christina says, rapping her knuckles against the doorframe. Uriah lurks behind her. He still smiles all the time, but now his smiles look like they're made of water, about to drip down his face. You had some news? She says. I check the room again, though I already know it's empty. Everyone is at breakfast, as required by our schedules. I asked Uriah and Christina to skip a meal so I could tell them something. My stomach is already rumbling. Yeah, I say. They sit on the bed across from mine, and I tell them about getting cornered in one of the erudite laboratories the night before, about the pillowcase, and the allegiant, and the meeting. I'm surprised all you did was punch one of them, Uriah says. Well, I was outnumbered, I say, feeling defensive. It wasn't very dauntless of me to just trust them immediately. But these are strange times, and I'm not sure how dauntless I really am anyway, now that the factions are gone. I feel a strange little ache at the thought, right in the middle of my chest. Some things are hard to let go of. So, what do you think they want? Christina says. Just to leave the city? It sounds that way, but I don't know. I say. How do we know they're not Evelyn's people, trying to trick us into betraying her? I don't know that either, I say. But it's going to be impossible to get out of the city without someone's help, and I'm not just going to stay here, learning how to drive buses and going to bed when I'm told to. Christina gives Uriah a worried look. Hey, I say. You don't have to come, but I need to get out of here. I need to know who Edith Pryor was, and who's waiting for us outside the fence, if anyone. I don't know why, but I need to. I take a deep breath. I'm not sure where that swell of desperation came from, but now that I've acknowledged it, it's impossible to ignore. Like a living thing has awakened from a long sleep inside me. It writhes in my stomach and throat. I need to leave. I need the truth. For once, the weak smile playing over Uriah's lips is gone. So do I, he says. Okay, Christina says. Her dark eyes are still troubled, but she shrugs. So we go to the meeting. Good. Can one of you tell Tobias? I'm supposed to be keeping my distance, since we're broken up, I say. Let's meet in the alley at 11:30. I'll tell him. I think I'm in his group today, Uriah says. Learning about the factories. I can't wait, he smirks. Can I tell Zeke too? Or is he not trustworthy enough? Go ahead. Just make sure he doesn't spread it around. I check my watch again. 9:15. Caleb's verdict has to be decided by now. It's almost time for everyone to go learn their factionless jobs. I feel like the slightest thing could make me jump right out of my skin. My knee bounces of its own volition. Christina puts her hand on my shoulder, but she doesn't ask me about it, and I'm grateful. I don't know what I would say. Christina and I weave a complicated path through erudite headquarters on our way to the back staircase, avoiding patrolling factionless. I pull my sleeve down over my wrist. I drew a map on my arm before I left. I know how to get to Candor headquarters from here, but I don't know the side streets that will keep us away from prying factionless eyes. Uriah waits for us just outside the door. He wears all black, but I can see a hint of abnegation gray peeking over the collar of his sweatshirt. It's strange to see my dauntless friends in abnegation colors, as if they've been with me my entire life. Sometimes, it feels that way anyway. I told Four and Zeke, but they're going to meet us there, Uriah says. Let's go. We run in a pack down the alley toward Monroe Street. I resist the urge to wince at each of our loud footsteps. It's more important to be quick than silent at this point, anyway. We turn onto Monroe, and I check behind us for factionless patrols. I see dark shapes moving closer to Michigan Avenue, but they disappear behind the row of buildings without stopping. Where's Kara? I whisper to Christina when we're on State Street and far enough away from erudite headquarters that it's safe to talk. I don't know. I don't think she got an invitation, Christina says, which is really bizarre. I know she wants to... Shh, Uriah says. Next turn? I use my watch light to see the words written on my arm. Randolph Street. We settle into a rhythm, our shoes slapping on the pavement, our breaths pulsing almost in unison. Despite the burn in my muscles, it feels good to run. My legs ache by the time we reach the bridge, but then I see the merciless mart across the marshy river, abandoned and unlit, and I smile through the pain. My pace slows when I am across the bridge, and Uriah slings an arm across my shoulders. And now, he says, we get to walk up a million flights of stairs. Maybe they turn the elevators on. Not a chance, he shakes his head. I bet Evelyn's monitoring all the electricity usage. It's the best way to figure out if people are meeting in secret. I sigh. I may like to run, but I hate climbing stairs. When we finally reach the top of the stairs, our chests heaving, it is 5 minutes to midnight. The others go ahead while I catch my breath near the elevator bank. Uriah was right. There isn't a single light on that I can see, apart from the exit signs. It is in their blue glow that I see Tobias emerge from the interrogation room up ahead. Since our date, I have spoken to him only in covert messages. I have to resist the urge to throw myself at him and brush my fingers over the curl of his lip and the crease in his cheek when he smiles and the hard line of his eyebrow and jaw. But it's 2 minutes to midnight. We don't have any time. He wraps his arms around me and holds me tight for a few seconds. His breaths tickle my ear, and I close my eyes, letting myself finally relax. He smells like wind and sweat and soap, like Tobias and like safety. Should we go in? He says. Whoever they are, they're probably prompt. Yes. My legs are trembling from overexertion. I can't imagine going down the stairs and running back to erudite headquarters later. Did you find out about Caleb? He winces. Maybe we should talk about that later. That's all the answer I need. They're going to execute him, aren't they? I say softly. He nods and takes my hand. I don't know how to feel. I try not to feel anything. Together, we walk into the room where Tobias and I were once interrogated under the influence of truth serum. The place where you made your confession. A circle of lit candles is arranged on the floor over one of the candor scales set into the tile. There is a mix of familiar and unfamiliar faces in the room. Susan and Robert stand together, talking. Peter is alone on the side of the room, his arms crossed. Uriah and Zeke are with Tori and a few other dauntless. Christina is with her mother and sister. And in a corner are two nervous-looking erudite. New outfits can't erase the divisions between us. They are ingrained. Christina beckons to me. This is my mom, Stephanie, she says, indicating a woman with gray streaks in her dark curly hair. And my sister, Rose. Mom, Rose, this is my friend Triss. And my initiation instructor, 4. Obviously, Stephanie says. We saw their interrogation several weeks ago, Christina. I know that. I was just being polite. Politeness is deception in... Yeah, yeah, I know. Christina rolls her eyes. Her mother and sister, I notice, look at each other with something like wariness or anger or both. Then her sister turns to me and says, "So, you killed Christina's boyfriend." Her words create a cold feeling inside me, like a streak of ice divides one side of my body from the other. I want to answer, to defend myself, but I can't find the words. "Rose," Christina says, scowling at her. At my side, Tobias straightens, his muscles tensing, ready for a fight, as always. "I just thought we would air everything out," Rose says. "It wastes less time." "And you wonder why I left our faction," Christina says. "Being honest doesn't mean you say whatever you want whenever you want. It means that what you choose to say is true. A lie of omission is still a lie." "You want the truth? I'm uncomfortable and don't want to be here right now. I'll see you guys later." She takes my arm and walks Tobias and me away from her family, shaking her head the whole time. "Sorry about that. They're not really the forgiving type." "It's fine," I say. "Though it's not. I thought that when I received Christina's forgiveness, the hard part of Will's death would be over. But when you kill someone you love, the hard part is never over. It just gets easier to distract yourself from what you've done." My watch reads 12 o'clock. A door across the room opens, and in walk 2 lean silhouettes. The first is Johanna Reyes, former spokesperson of Amity, identifiable by the scar that crosses her face and the hint of yellow peeking out from under her black jacket. The second is another woman, but I can't see her face, just that she is wearing blue. I feel a spike of terror. She looks almost like Janine. No, I saw her die. Janine is dead. The woman comes closer. She is statuesque and blonde like Janine. A pair of glasses dangles from her front pocket, and her hair is in a braid. An erudite from head to foot, but not Janine Matthews. Kara. Kara and Johanna are the leaders of the Allegiant? "Hello," Kara says, and all conversation stops. She smiles, but on her the expression looks compulsory, like she's just adhering to a social convention. "We aren't supposed to be here, so I'm going to keep this meeting short. Some of you, Zeke, Tori, have been helping us for the past few days." I stare at Zeke. Zeke has been helping Kara? I guess I forgot that he was once a Dauntless spy, which is probably when he proved his loyalty to Kara. He had some kind of friendship with her before she left Erudite headquarters not long ago. He looks at me, wiggles his eyebrows, and grins. Johanna continues. "Some of you are here because we want to ask for your help. All of you are here because you don't trust Evelyn Johnson to determine the fate of this city." Kara touches her palms together in front of her. "We believe in following the guidance of the city's founders, which has been expressed in 2 ways. The formation of the factions, and the divergent mission expressed by Edith Pryor, to send people outside the fence to help whoever is out there once we have a large divergent population. We believe that even if we have not reached that divergent population size, the situation in our city has become dire enough to send people outside the fence anyway. In accordance with the intentions of our city's founders, we have 2 goals: to overthrow Evelyn and the factionless, so that we can reestablish the factions, and to send some of our number outside the city to see what's out there. Johanna will be heading up the former effort, and I will be heading up the latter, which is what we will mostly be focusing on tonight." She presses a loose strand of hair back into her braid. "Not many of us will be able to go, because a crowd that large would draw too much attention. Evelyn won't let us leave without a fight, so I thought it would be best to recruit people who I know to be experienced with surviving danger. I glance at Tobias. We certainly are experienced with danger. Christina, Triss, Tobias, Tori, Zeke, and Peter are my selections, Kara says. You have all proven your skills to me in one way or another, and it's for that reason that I'd like to ask you to come with me outside the city. You are under no obligation to agree, of course. Peter? I demand, without thinking. I can't imagine what Peter could have done to prove his skills to Kara. He kept the erudite from killing you, Kara says mildly. Who do you think provided him with the technology to fake your death? I raise my eyebrows. I'd never thought about it before. Too much happened after my failed execution for me to dwell on the details of my rescue. But of course, Kara was the only well-known defector from erudite at that time. The only person Peter would have known to ask for help. Who else could have helped him? Who else would have known how? I don't raise another objection. I don't want to leave this city with Peter, but I'm too desperate to leave to make a fuss about it. That's a lot of dauntless, a girl at the side of the room says, looking skeptical. She has thick eyebrows that don't stop growing in the middle, and pale skin. When she turns her head, I see black ink right behind her ear. A dauntless transfer to erudite, no doubt. True, Kara says. But what we need right now are people with the skills to get out of the city unscathed, and I think dauntless training makes them highly qualified for that task. I'm sorry, but I don't think I can go, Zeke says. I couldn't leave Shauna here. Not after her sister just... well, you know. I'll go, Uriah says, his hand popping up. I'm dauntless, I'm a good shot, and I provide much-needed eye candy. I laugh. Kara does not seem to be amused, but she nods. Thank you. Kara, you'll need to get out of the city fast, the dauntless-turned-erudite girl says, which means you should get someone to operate the trains. Good point, Kara says. Does anyone here know how to drive a train? Oh, I do, the girl says. Was that not implied? The pieces of the plan come together. Johanna suggests we take Amity trucks from the end of the railroad tracks out of the city, and she volunteers to supply them to us. Robert offers to help her. Stephanie and Rose volunteer to monitor Evelyn's movements in the hours before the escape, and to report any unusual behavior to the Amity compound by two-way radio. The Dauntless who came with Tori offer to find weapons for us. The erudite girl prods at any weaknesses she sees, and so does Kara. And soon, they are all shored up, like we have just built a secure structure. There is only one question left. Kara asks it. When should we go? And I volunteer an answer. Tomorrow night.